Day one of Totus Tuus's Novena to Mary, source of joy for the little ones. With extracts from Papa Francisco's exhortation on the joy of the gospel. The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and the entire lives of those who encounter Jesus. Those who let themselves be saved by him are freed from sin, from sadness, from emptiness and isolation. With Jesus Christ, joy is always born and reborn. In this exhortation, I desire to address myself to the Christian faithful so as to invite them to a new stage of evangelization marked by this joy, and so as to indicate ways for the pathway of the Church in the years ahead. The big risk in today's world, with its multiple and overwhelming offering of consumption, is an individualistic sadness which stems from a comfortable and greedy heart, from a feverish pursuit of superficial pleasures, from an isolated conscience. When the interior life closes in on its own interests, there is no longer space for others. The poor no longer enter, the voice of God is no longer heard, the sweet joy of his love is no longer enjoyed. Enthusiasm for doing good does not pulsate. Even believers run this risk, which is certain and permanent. Many succumb to it and become resentful, discontent, lifeless people. This is not the choice of a dignified and full life. This is not the desire of God for us. This is not the life in the Spirit which flows from the heart of the risen Christ. I invite every Christian, in whatever place and situation they may find themselves in, to renew their personal encounter with Jesus Christ this very day, or at least to make the decision to let themselves encounter him, to seek him every day without ceasing. There is no reason why anyone can think that this invitation is not for them, because no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. The Lord does not disappoint anyone who takes this risk, and when one takes a small step towards Jesus, one discovers that he was already awaiting one's arrival with open arms. This is the moment to say to Jesus Christ, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have fled from your love. Yet I am here once again to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Redeem me once again, Lord. Accept me once more into your redeeming arms. It does us so much good to return to him when we are lost. I emphasize once again, God never tires of forgiving us. It is us who tire of asking for his mercy. The one who invited us to forgive 70 times 7 times gives us the example. He forgives 70 times 7 times. He comes back to carry us on his shoulders time after time. Nobody can take away from us the dignity that this infinite and unwavering love confers upon us. He enables us to lift up our heads again and start anew, with a tenderness that never disappoints us and that can always restore our joy. Let us not flee from the resurrection of Jesus. Let us never give up, come what may. Nothing can be more than his life, which impels us forward. The books of the Old Testament had announced the joy of salvation, which would become superabundant in messianic times. The prophet Isaiah addresses the awaited Messiah by greeting him with jubilation. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. He encourages the inhabitants of Zion to welcome him with songs, sing and rejoice. The prophet invites the one who has already seen him on the horizon to become a messenger for others. Come up on a high mountain, herald of good tidings to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, herald of good tidings to Jerusalem. The whole creation participates in this joy of salvation. Sing, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, shout for joy, O mountains. For the Lord consoles his people and has mercy on his afflicted. Zechariah, seeing the Lord's day, invites us to acclaim the King, who arrives humble and riding on a donkey. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King comes to you. He is just and victorious. Yet perhaps the most contagious invitation is that of the prophet Zephaniah, who shows us God himself as a luminous center of celebration and joy, who wants to communicate to his people this salvific cry. It fills me with life to reread this text. The Lord your God is in your midst, a powerful Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with cries of joy. This is the joy that is lived in the little things of daily life, as a response to the affectionate invitation of God our Father. My child, in the measure to which you can, treat yourself well. Do not deprive yourself of a happy day. How much paternal tenderness can be intuited behind these words? The Gospel, in which the cross of Christ shines glorious, persistently invites us to joy. A few examples will suffice. Rejoice is the angel's greeting to Mary. Mary's visit to Elizabeth makes John leap for joy in his mother's womb. In her canticle, Mary proclaims, "My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." When Jesus begins his ministry, John exclaims, "Now my joy is full." Jesus himself exulted for joy in the Holy Spirit. His message is the source of joy. "I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." Our Christian joy springs from the source of his overflowing heart. He promises his disciples, "You will be in sadness, but your sadness will turn into joy." And he insists, "I will see you again, and your hearts will be in joy, and no one will take your joy from you." Thereafter, the disciples, seeing him risen, were full of joy. The book of the Acts of the Apostles recounts that the first community took their food with gladness. Wherever the disciples went, there was great joy, and they, in the midst of persecution, were filled with joy. A eunuch who had just been baptized, full of joy, went on his way. And the jailer rejoiced with his entire household for having believed in God. Why should we not also enter into this river of joy? There are Christians who seem to have about them an air of Lent without Easter. Yet I recognize that joy is not lived in the same way in all the stages and circumstances of life, which are at times very difficult. Joy adapts and transforms itself, and always remains, at least as a flare of light, which is born of the personal certainty of being infinitely loved, above and beyond all else. I understand people who are inclined to sadness because of the grave difficulties which they have to suffer. But, little by little, it is necessary to let the joy of faith begin to wake up, like a secret but firm trust, even in the midst of the worst anxieties. I remain far from peace. I have forgotten happiness, but this I recall to my heart, and for this I wish to have hope. The graces of the Lord are infinite. His mercies are inexhaustible. They are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It is good to await in silence for the salvation of the Lord. The temptation frequently appears in the form of excuses and complaints, as if there must be innumerable conditions for joy to be possible. This usually happens because technological society has succeeded in multiplying occasions for pleasure, but has great difficulty in generating joy. I can say that the most beautiful and spontaneous joys that I have seen in the course of my life are those of the very poor who have little to hold on to. I also remember the genuine joy of those who, even amidst great professional commitments, have kept a detached, simple, believing heart. In various ways, these joys draw from the source of God's ever greater love, which is manifested to us in Jesus Christ. I will not tire of repeating these words of Benedict XVI, which lead us to the centre of the Gospel. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. It is only thanks to this encounter, or re-encounter, with the love of God, which blossoms into a happy friendship, that we are rescued from our isolated consciousness and self-absorption. We become fully human when we are more than human, when we allow God to lead us beyond ourselves so as to reach our truest being. Herein lies the source of evangelizing action, because if someone has welcomed this love which restores the meaning of life, how can the desire be contained to communicate it to others? Let us pray. Mary, Virgin and Mother, you who moved by the Spirit welcomed the verb of life in the depth of your humble faith, totally given to the Eternal One. Help us to say our yes in the urgency more pressing than ever to make the good news of Jesus resound. You, filled with the presence of Christ, brought joy to John the Baptist, making him exult in his mother's womb. You, trembling with gladness, sang the wonders of the Lord. You, who remained firm before the cross with an unwavering faith and received the joyous consolation of the resurrection. You gathered the disciples to await the Spirit so that the evangelizing church might be born. Obtain for us now a new ardor of ones resurrected, so as to bring to everyone the gospel of life, which conquers death. Give us holy audacity to seek new paths, so that the gift of the beauty which never fades may reach everyone. You, Virgin of listening and of contemplation, Mother of love, Spouse of the eternal wedding feast, intercede for the Church, of which you are the purest icon, that she may never be enclosed and never stop in her passion to establish the kingdom. Star of the new evangelization, help us to shine in the witness of communion, of service, of ardent and generous faith, of justice and love for the poor, so that the joy of the gospel may reach to the ends of the earth, and no periphery be deprived of its light. Mother of the living gospel, source of joy for the little ones, pray for us. Amen. Alleluia.